You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Early morning, Saturday. Birds are calling out my name and they're telling me to leave my bed. Drink a coffee for my head. Cereal and radio. Mr. Sun saying hello and I pick some clothes from my wardrobe. Get the bike from out the shed. Let the wheels go round and round. I'm pulling up at your house and I say no. Come and take a ride with me.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio Show on 3CR Radical Radio. Thank you to Democracy Now! For the last hour of current affairs. And we're proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of land from which we broadcast, transmit and live stream people-powered radio. Yarra Bicycle Users Group Radio, we're a show about bikes, cycling, active transport, micromobility, advocacy, adventures, and lots of other things. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about the advocacy side of things with having a listen and a chat to some interviews or some speeches from a rally that was held last Wednesday in Brisbane. And it's to do with the new e-bike legislation that's been out for, I think, consultation. And we're talking about, if you can cast your mind back to about mid last year, I spoke to Catherine Good from the Story Bridge Active Transport Alliance. And at that time, they were having difficulties with traversing one of the main routes in their city, the Story Bridge, because of ongoing maintenance issues, and how they'd put together a bike bus. Now, this time, we're talking about legislation and how they put together, alongside Bicycle Queensland, a critical mass ride last Wednesday night. So I'm going to be listening to speeches, and after that, I'm going to be talking to Catherine after that. Now, news and events. We've just had the first of April go by, and it didn't go by without note. We had an interesting media release put out by, wait for it, come on phone, please work. It says Faraday Cage, it always lets me down. It was a press release from the Department of Pedalling and Perspiration. And it was about basically, you know, cyclists should be paid about $1 per kilometre and a bunch of other things to do with getting... well, people moving in the energy crisis we have looming, even if we do get those Straits of Hormuz open, there's going to be a lag and there's going to be a whole bunch of cascading events in terms of, stuff you pay for. And, yeah, it was interesting to, I'll put the link to this media release thing. It was quite well written, and I do believe it did come from the western suburbs of Melbourne, so well done you people out there for writing such a very humorous media release. But last week we had our esteemed Prime Minister address the nation about the, again, looming energy crisis. And it was one of those stay calm and blah 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 sort of things, but at the end of it it's kind of like, you know, cut down your travel if you need to, catch public transport, blah blah blah. Didn't even mention walking and cycling, because I think invariably our political advisors and focus groups and politicians are still kind of around the whole thing of, oh, I can't talk about that because it's povo, which is a little bit simplistic, but really it's amazing. Even after decades, one of the best ways of either short-term, medium-term, distance, whatever ways of getting around is, you know, can't talk about that because that might just take the focus off the fact that, you know, we want to be endlessly aspirational and I'll just drop it. Anyway, so I'll put that in the podcast description. And another thing that came up last week, which was Wellington Street. Now, interesting article in The Age talking about it was a war between neighbours. And it's really odd knowing actually what's going on in the area. It's actually none of this thing at all. I've spoken to Alex Lamb on the show about, you know, making a nicer Collingwood or a nicer Clifton Hill. And to very simplistically put what is planned for it is if you look at places like Canning and, or, you know, Canning Street, Drummond Street, a whole bunch of streets, it's dozens and dozens of what I'm about to get to, is the modal filters. These things were put in the 80s, 90s. They are no mysterious thing that's never occurred before in the history of anything. You've actually got modal filters in that actual area, Collingwood, Clifton Hill. This time, it's another north-south street, similar to Canning, that they're looking at doing that. And it's not, it's kind of, there's a lot of fear around this. And I think really, you, if you're a resident in the area, I think you've got to apply some critical thinking. Maybe go over to Drummond and Canning Street and have a look for yourself. Maybe have a look at what modal filters do, and I'll chuck that into the podcast description as well, that Streets Live Yarra have done a fabulous job of documenting all the modal filters in the area. And I must bring up too, as some news that going back a little while ago, probably just beginning of this year, spoke to Karen about the North Richmond bike bus. Now, we're going to have a Sunday ride on the 19th of April, and that's going to be 10 a.m. and meet down at the East-West Pathway opposite 36 Lennox Street, and ride the streets of Richmond and finish with games and bike activities afterwards around about 11:30. So find out what a bike bus is without all the stress of trying to get ready for school. And you can register on Humanitix, and I'll also put that into the podcast description. And I can't help but mention that coming up at the end of the month, Critical Mass. Now, Critical Mass this time, I believe, is heading north. I've got no other details other than that than somewhere northwards direction. And that's the 24th of April. So get ready for that. Get your noise, get your Bluetooth speakers out, get your lights out, and come out and have a really great time and feel what it's like to ride without all those stressors that you normally or unfortunately feel when you're riding, because you're riding with a good group of people. Now, getting back to stressors, I just want to quickly build in that, you know, in my last week's show and a continuing topic on this on our program is Elizabeth Street protected bike lanes. Now, if you've been around the area, you would have seen a whole bunch of things happen in the last 3 weeks, including the resheeting, which seemed like, okay, the contractors and everyone's kind of doing what they've been given oversight for, but I should backtrack on that a bit. But the feedback we're getting from residents and people who use the area, because that Lennox Street and Elizabeth Street area is a phenomenal, you know, east-west, north-south thing for people riding and on e-scooters as well. It's been a rush job. And been a rush job probably for a couple of reasons that I could probably talk about on another show. But what's in at the moment, they're putting the line marking back in, and instead of like those very good barriers we had before, we've now got little red dinky bollards. And where this is a problem and where it's got to be monitored from now on in is that the parking has crept in closer, and so has the propensity or the chance of car doors and conflict. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to have to say some stuff here that I don't really enjoy saying, but if you have anything that you observe or experience, document it, report it. If you have something occur to you, make a police report. Do not leave that counter until they make the report, because, yeah, unfortunately, police are good at fobbing you off and, no, we don't want to do that. No, you make a report. If things escalate to a different thing of, unfortunately, you need medical care, make sure that you get that reported. Stats are the way that, things get changed. Invariably with Yarra, we're seeing a little bit of a very big retrogressive thing going on. And as I said during, 3 weeks ago? It's not the end of this. It's only the beginning with Elizabeth Street. Because, again, there's a whole bunch of things up in the air at the moment if you've been reading or watching the media. In other states, people are calling for pop-up bike lanes. People are calling for, different modes of getting around, despite the fact that our Prime Minister couldn't be bothered mentioning that. People are getting on public transport, and it's not the fact that it's free. It's the fact that people have got to make decisions to make their lives and their daily activities and their, just basically the way they can get around easier. And just having one version of, just get around by car, which everything's been socialised back to, is not a way to build that, what's that term, social cohesion. We have problems when we just overlook issues. Now, after the break, the break won't be a break. It's actually going to be some interviews and some really interesting stuff that's happening up in Queensland. I'm going to replay that. And then I'll come in and we'll have a chat with Catherine from Story Bridge Active Transport Alliance.
Not to do with us, it's to do with our customers. We have customers at both ends of the age continuum. We have little kids under 16. Their only way of being able to ride a bike with their friends is with pedal assist because they have chronic disabilities and conditions that limit their ability to join in, have a bit of fun, age appropriate fun. But we also do a lot of work with older riders on tricycles. And tricycle is not EN 15194 compliant, no matter what the numbers are that go after that. If it's got three wheels, it is not EN compliant. So have a think about that. And all those people that you know where when they get older, they lose their confidence, they lose their balance, and they actually want to use a trike to be able to get around and socialize. One of the biggest issues we've got in this country is loneliness. If you can't get out and about independently, if you have to ask somebody to help you to do everything, it really diminishes your confidence and it stops you being connected to your neighborhoods. So these are the sorts of people that are calling us every day at the moment saying, will I lose my trike? Will my child no longer be able to ride their NDIS approved and funded assistive technology? It's breaking my heart. We have parents in tears. We've got old people. We had a guy recently who has terminal cancer. He wanted one of the bikes that we rode down today. It's got a seat for his dog. And he wanted to actually ride that down to the beach just to watch his dog play in the water. About 200 meters, he wasn't able to pedal anymore. And he phoned us and said, I'm going to cancel my order because it's not EN15194 compliant and I don't want to break the law. How bloody sad is that? So tell your old friends, tell your new friends, but tell everybody within your network to actually put in a submission because we need the humanity to get out there. Every day we see people who actually need adaptive bikes and trikes and they definitely need pedal assist. And it's not just an isolated case. And these aren't really people on the margins. These are people every day who actually rely on this equipment, this technology, to get out into the neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Andrea. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I'm just going to say really quickly to finish us off, I mean, you're free to leave at any time if I'm too boring, but before you all do head off, I just want to say the number one thing that we really need everybody to do is make a submission to the committee before 10 a.m. next Friday, the 10th of April. If you are in this crowd and you have not made a submission either online or by emailing the committee, please don't think this doesn't apply to me. It applies to you. We need every single person to make a submission. I got flyers out here with the QR link to the form. If you haven't got it, we've got them passed around everywhere. So please make a submission. Sorry, Matt, you go ahead.
Yeah, and on behalf of Bicycle Queensland, we are not going to sue you for plagiarism if you take our text and use it in some way. Okay? So our submission should be in tomorrow. My chair and everyone is just working on the fine details of it. It should be in tomorrow. We will publish it and we'll put it out on our BQ socials and on our website. Feel free to go Control C, Control V on bits of that. But can I just re-emphasize this issue with the disabled kids not having a right to ride? It's bloody un-Australian.
Yes.
It is un-Australian. And we need to cut these bits out of this legislation.
Yes.
Thank you. There is also a public briefing for Transport and Main Roads with the committee tomorrow at 3:30 to 4 p.m. So you can actually tune in to a live stream if you want to watch that. I'll post the link on the Storybridge Active Travel Alliance page. So tune in and see what happens. We'll be ready to be surprised. The other thing that I want to say before we finish, as well as making a submission, is in my opinion, we need to oppose these laws in its entirety. We need to oppose age limits in its entirety. We need to oppose speed limits in its entirety, and we need to oppose licensing requirements in its entirety. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, what about 12 years old? What about exemptions for licenses? What about disability exemptions and all that kind of stuff? Once we start carving out exemptions for some of us, we need to carve out exemptions for all of us. Because what happens to people who are disabled, people who are elderly, and people who don't have licenses is what is going to happen to everybody if we don't stop it now. We need to stop the laws in its entirety. We need to have no extra regulations for legal pedal assist bicycles than there are for regular push bikes. No more age limits, no more licensing, and no more speed limits than there are for regular bicycles.
And on the phone today, I got Catherine, who was just speaking there at last Wednesday's Critical Mass for, well, a few things, including e-bike legislation in Queensland. Catherine, do you want to give us a bit of an update on what happened with that briefing the next day?
So we did have the Transport and Main Roads briefing the following day. There was a few interesting things that came out of that with the committee. One, they kind of, I guess, essentially admitted they had made a mistake with the standards that are in the legislation as written. So I didn't catch the first part of that, but you may have heard Matt say that the legislation as written has got basically the very latest version of the EN15194 standard, which only applies to bikes sold after 2023, so really just in the last kind of year and a half. So one of the things that they said at the briefing essentially was that they had made a mistake with that. They didn't intend to outlaw all the previously legal bikes that had just been built, to previous versions of the standard. So that's good news in some respects. So we're expecting to see that will be probably updated in the final legislation, that it will just be the broader EN15194 standard and not a specific version of that, which is great news for everybody that's got a bike built before, you know, the last year and a half. The other kind of interesting things that came out of the committee, the Deputy Director General of the Transport and Main Roads Department in Queensland, something interesting that he said, you know, discussing the shared path and footpath speed limits that were in place, is that he actually said, we're not intending for these laws to push people onto the road. So kind of an interesting statement about the laws not wanting to push people on the road when that is kind of exactly how the legislation as drafted is having that effect. You know, basically people will have the choice to either ride at 10Ks an hour, which is quite impractical on all shared paths and footpaths, or head onto the road. So pretty interesting to hear Transport and Main Roads say that that's not the intention of the legislation.
But it is.
Yeah, well, that's a practical effect. So, I'm not sure, I guess, what the outcome of that is going to be. There's some other interesting statements from members of the committee about, you know, that if you can't ride at 10 kilometres an hour, it's a skill issue, basically, and then, you know, you should have the skill to be able to do that, which is an interesting statement, given that none of them have actually gotten on a pedal assist e-bike, the people who are actually making that statement. A few interesting things to come out of that, and there's another public hearing and public briefing coming up in the next couple of weeks as well, so keen to see what happens there.
It sounds like a combination of very poorly written legislation and no life experience, which, okay, I can understand decision makers sometimes don't, you know, a lot of decision makers do not have the life experience when they come to making legislation or voting on stuff, but this is quite bad. This is very bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I think it's evident that the legislation as written is very, very hastily written, and I think pretty rushed and poorly thought through. You know, there really hasn't been a lot of, I guess, consideration of the actual evidence that was given to the committee. You know, the committee has produced these recommendations for having, you know, the licensing, the speed limits, and the age requirements, but none of that actually aligns with the evidence that they were given during the inquiry. You know, the evidence that they were given from Transport and Main Roads and from many, many people with lived experience of legal pedal assist bikes is, you know, there was no issue with legal pedal assist bikes. There was no rise in injuries. There was no rise in deaths associated with legal pedal assist bikes. So, it's pretty poorly thought through that there's now going to be all this stuff cracking down on legal pedal assist bikes when that's, you know, not at all what the evidence presented to the government was during the inquiry.
Yeah, because Australian state governments have been grappling with the e-bikes thing because of, well, e-moto bikes, and it goes back to the previous, probably even a step back, previous federal government allowed this stuff into the country. And it also shows that the current people, you know, designing and framing legislation don't understand or have no briefing of what's going on in the e-bike, e-scooter space.
Yeah, 100%. It's, you know, I mean, as you said, this all started, you know, back in 2021 when these things, the illegal e-motorbikes were allowed into the country, you know, and under the guise of private property use. One of the other interesting things about the legislation as well is one of the recommendations of the committee from the e-mobility inquiry said that, you know, essentially electric dirt bikes, you know, one of their recommendations was these should only be allowed to, you know, be sold by, you know, specific licensed retailers, and there should be more, you know, I guess like regulation about who exactly is allowed to sell them, because at the moment, you know, anyone can sell them and say, oh, private property use only, and off you go. But that actually hasn't made its way into the actual legislation. So basically the legislation, there's a lot of cracking down on legal pedal assist bikes, but that they haven't really addressed this issue of these bikes, which are electric dirt bikes, essentially being able to be sold by anyone, you know, for wink, wink, nudge, nudge, private property use only. So it's a bit of a weird situation, because the legislation as written, there are huge penalties for, you know, regular bike shops to sell legal pedal assist bikes to under 16 years old. So, you know, there's massive tens of thousands of dollar fines, like there's huge, you know, police search powers if they suspect a bike shop is selling pedal assist bikes to under 16 years old. But you've got this weird situation where they could completely legally sell an electric dirt bike to that same child, and that will be completely legal as long as they say, oh, it's for private property use only.
It's an absolute mess of they don't understand the products being landed in the country.
Yeah, 100%.
And legislation trying to play catch-up, because the stuff I've seen, and you've probably seen it too, of people trying to ride at 10k per hour, people from the more conservative end of politics kind of saying, you know, we've got to smash these things hard and all the rest of it, when they don't understand the space and in which the way people operate. Because in those earlier speeches, just play NDIS recipients use these. People who have health issues use these. You know, the guy with a dog story, kind of like... bloody heartbreaking to hear that. But yeah, this is where the government, I could get into a big arc on this, about how small government is actually not very good for legislation, because you've got to have a regulated thing. And I don't care what end of the spectrum you sit at, regulation is the way that society runs, because you just can't have open slather, you know.
I mean, we've let all this, you know, illegal devices into the country. We've kind of, you know, my understanding is basically the federal government has now said, okay, we're going to reinstate the standard for importing bikes into the country, you know, so it's back to that EN15194 standard for importing, but it's actually still voluntary to actually declare what you're importing. So, I mean, the people who are doing the right thing all along and importing, you know, legal compliant bikes, you know, fine, they'll continue to do that. But, you know, the people who are kind of knowingly, people who are buying bikes off AliExpress and you know, kind of overseas dodgy sites, you know, there's no requirement actually for them to declare that they're non-compliant bikes. So,
well, the legislation's got to be fixed. It's like you said in your speech, you can't have carve-outs. It's got to be properly constructed legislation. And we've got to stop the, you know, the overpowered stuff being landed in the country as a product.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's got to be a double effort of, you know, stopping this stuff coming into the country in the first place. And, you know, there is some stuff in the bill which I think will go some way towards addressing, you know, the illegal devices. Like, it does add powers for police to seize them while they're unattended, so they don't actually have to chase people down. You know, they can seize devices if they come across them, you know, locked up at the bike rack. So there is some measures in the bill which will go some way towards that. But, yeah, there's just all this completely unnecessary stuff for compliant e-bikes, which is really just going to kneecap active transport in Queensland.
Yeah, well, great overview you've given us. And just in the last minute I've got here, because, you know, I was the CEO of Bicycle Queensland, basically said what you can do to follow this up if you're in Queensland or Queensland adjacent. Can you give us a bit of a quick thing of what's going on with Story Bridge? Because that's the last time I spoke to you in June last year.
Yeah. So I guess the most recent ride that we did on Wednesday, going over the Story Bridge, to go back to last year, you know, the Story Bridge footpaths were closed for about 7 months, nearly 8 months, I think, while they were being repaired by Brisbane City Council. So last year we had, you know, tried to do a big protest. There was, you know, a court action. We ended up doing a bunch of like bike bus rides over the Story Bridge while the footpaths were being repaired. The footpaths reopened in October, which is fantastic. So the council, you know, spent $7 million to fix up the footpaths, you know, with this temporary solution, QuickSmart, so we could all get back over them. And then kind of the point of the critical mass ride that we did on Wednesday was to point out how these new laws would look in practice. So both sides of the Story Bridge footpaths are shared paths. So they're both pedestrians and cyclists allowed on both sides of the footpaths. So if this new legislation passes, someone on a legal e-bike is going to have the choice of riding along the Story Bridge footpaths at 10 kilometres an hour, which would take you, you know, 6 or 7 minutes to get across, as opposed to, you know, about 2 minutes if you're going at your normal 20 or 25 k's an hour. Or they would have to ride on the road, which is quite a scary thing to do on your own going across the Story Bridge. You know, I've done it many times now in a group, and it's not the nicest environment for a bike. So,
No. You
know, in practice, like, the way these laws would play out is that the council has just spent millions fixing up these, you know, shared paths for us to get across the bridge without having to share with cars. And now the state government's going to introduce these laws, which essentially would put people back on the road with cars, even though we've just spent millions fixing up the side baths.
I think you need to invite out the politicians and their political advisors for a demonstration event of what you try and ride at 10k per hour, and bring out a vast array of different people from different user modes of, do you actually understand what you're writing legislation for?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, that's all I've got time for today. We're just... thank you so much for catching up at short notice. Really appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Yarrabug would like to thank Bicycle Network for their financial support. Bicycle Network, a not-for-profit with 45,000 members, working to get more people riding for their health and well-being. Bicycle Network is proud to sponsor the Yarrabug program and support its important advocacy for safer and more accessible riding. By becoming a Bicycle Network member and or participating in one of their iconic riding events, you're supporting Bicycle Network's Ride to School programs and advocacy campaigns to make it easier for everyone to ride a bike every day. Visit bicyclenetwork.com.au for more information.